We are happy to welcome Allison Wallenberg to our broadcast. Allison, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you guys?
We are good.
Good.
Let's talk about you or your five-year-old. His name is Kellen, right?
That is correct.
He was born, and it was a surprise to you, but he was born with some health problems, right?
Yes, he was. It was a really big surprise for my husband and I when he was born.
What do you remember about it at that time?
Well, I remember that we were at Mercy Hospital here downtown, and it was a long day. We had been in labor for like 12 hours, and they brought us to the OR to do an emergency C-section. And when he came out, he cried once and turned blue. And so the NICU staff was down there, and they rushed him up to the NICU to try and figure out what was going on. So he couldn't breathe. And so they were trying to figure out if he had a lung issue or a heart issue, or unfortunately for him, he had both. So, yes, he was a very sick little boy when he was born.
And you were, of course, just post-delivery, so you couldn't, you know, leave the room or any of that. So what's going through your mind while all this is happening?
Well, I was exhausted. He was also our first child, so I didn't know that this really wasn't normal. And so they kind of did one of those, here's your baby, grabbed my husband and ran. And so I just kind of assumed that my husband and my son were snuggling,
right.
doing all the normal things while, and I just,
you were recovering.
Yeah. And I wasn't anticipating having a C-section. So, I just assumed that me being in this room was totally normal, when in fact it wasn't. It wasn't until probably a half hour, 45 minutes later that they came down and started to kind of share the news with me, what was going on with him. They just weren't sure at the present moment in time, and so they wanted to do a bunch of tests and figure out exactly what his diagnosis was and what his prognosis was before they came down and started talking to me. It's funny, though, if you ask my husband, he... He doesn't have any memory of any of it and doesn't talk about it. So I think he, unfortunately for him, is the one that saw most of the trauma. So for me, I just, honestly, at one point when they came down to visit me, I wasn't even sure he was alive because I hadn't seen him. And my mom was with me and she was crying. And so I asked her, and she's a nurse. And I was like, is he dead? You know, I mean, it was just, it's a horrible thing to ask, but I wasn't sure. And she just kind of looked at me and said, no, but it's not good.
Okay. And they found that exactly what was wrong.
He was diagnosed with transposition of the great arteries, as well as severe persistent pulmonary hypertension. So basically, in transposition, the aorta and pulmonary artery are transposed, so they're reversed. So what's happening is blood is oxygenating within the lungs, but instead of being sent back to the body to oxygenate the rest of the body, it's just going back and oxygenating the lungs. So that would be why he was blue when he was born. And then with him having the pulmonary hypertension on top of that, he just wasn't really getting sufficient oxygen anywhere.
Wow.
So,
Now, were they telling you at the time, you know what, this is obviously bad, but we can help him, or did they know?
Had he just had the transposition of the great arteries, he probably would have had surgery when he was 3 days old, and we would have been out of the hospital within probably 10 days or so. But with the diagnosis of the congenital heart defect on top of the persistent pulmonary hypertension, they just really weren't sure, and they had a really hard time getting him stabilized. And so after 3 days of being in the NICU and not showing any signs of improvement, he actually started to get worse. And my husband and I went up to go visit him up there, and there were a bunch of people running in and out of his room, and we didn't know what was going on. And we got up there and talked to his cardiologist, who told us that we had to take life-saving measures to save him. And so they shut down part of Mercy Hospital to transfer him from the NICU to the pediatric ICU, where they could place him on ECMO. And ECMO is basically a heart-lung machine that does all the work for the body. So it's kind of, I kind of call it the Hail Mary of
Yeah.
Of life support. It was pretty much his only option at that point. So, yeah, it was a very scary moment for us and very emotional.
When did you first start to get some hope for Kellen?
We started to get maybe a little bit of hope. He was on ECMO from day 3 to day 8. And it was still pretty dicey there. And day 10 was the first day that I got to hold him ever. So that was a very emotional day for our family. And just when we started to kind of gain hope, things went downhill again. And we got a call in the middle of the evening that we needed to come to the hospital right away, where they told us that they thought he was actually dying and that they thought he was septic. And so when we got there and we were having this conversation, he actually did code, and then they had to put him back on ECMO. And it was at this point where we had some serious conversations with his surgeon and the cardiologists and the doctors that were there to determine if this was the best step for him. But it was at this moment in time that his cardiothoracic surgeon looked at us and said, "There's hope. None of his other organs are compromised and they're all still functioning very well." So he's like, "I think this was just your son's way of telling us that it's time to do open heart surgery." So 5 days after that, he had surgery on October 25th, 2013. And it was like a miracle. It was, he came out of that surgery soaring, and nobody expected that. And so it was in that moment throughout that day. And it's kind of one of those weird feelings you have as a parent. We weren't sure if we should be excited for the open heart surgery, but compared to everything that we had been through the past 3 weeks, we were just like, okay, so this is we don't have an option. And so, you know, we prayed and did all the things that are important to our family, and it ended up working to our advantage. And after surgery, he just blew everybody away.
Wow.
So do you celebrate, because his birthday's in October, so do you have two birthdays?
We do. We have, and we have a lot of other things that I choose not to celebrate, but so we celebrate October 7th, obviously. We celebrate October 25th, and then we also celebrate November 22nd, which is the day we got to bring him home from the hospital, which was a day that we never thought we would see. So. Yeah.
Right. That's awesome. And now you said, you know, he's over 5. What's his prognosis? What happens from here?
He's awesome. Other than having some battle wounds, you would never know the journey that he had as a baby. He has a normal life. He doesn't have any restrictions at this point in time. He will see a cardiologist for the rest of his life once a year just to make sure that you know, his heart is functioning the way that it should be. But fortunately for us, we've been able to kind of not have to look back on those days. And we have constant reminders from him that life is good.
Right.
does he ask about it? And what are you telling?
So he's starting to get to that point where he recognizes his scars. And he does see a lot of doctors. He has some other things that we're working through, more behavioral type stuff that's common with kids that have had trauma as infants. So he can tell us every doctor that we're going to based on the drive that we're taking. but he seems pretty oblivious to his scars, and he'll talk about, you know, the scar on his chest and talk about how Dr. Hockmuth fixed his heart. But I don't know if he totally grasps his story or his journey yet. So it'll be interesting as time goes on. And I feel like it's our job as parents to make him be proud of those scars and not ashamed.
Yeah.
So, of course, we are asking people to call and donate to the American Heart Association. What would you tell them? Why should they?
Oh, well, I think it's really important for people to know that heart defects are way more common than anybody could ever imagine. It's 1 in 100. And we had no idea until it impacted us and our family. And all the money, you know, goes to research and goes to ways to figure out how we can prevent heart disease. But it also helps us figure out ways that we can support these children as they move into adulthood as well. And so all that money is so, so important in helping us prevent heart disease in the future, too.
Allison Wallenberg has been our guest. She just told us a story that her family went through and her son, Kellen, went through, who's doing great today, and we're glad that the story turned out that way for you. And thank you for coming down and sharing it with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.